Today, on the circumcision of our Lord and the octave day of the Nativity, we heard what was the shortest of gospel readings throughout the whole liturgical year. But there's so much that is packed in to that one verse from the Gospel of St. Luke, the second chapter, the 21st verse. This follows the Nativity account in the first 20 verses of Luke's second chapter. And in this, it simply says, "And when 8 days were accomplished," when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child. So we are presented with this motif of the eighth day. And I've talked about this before, but I want to remind you of the significance of the eighth day in terms of scriptural motifs. Of course, we know that there are the 7 days of creation. And the seventh day motif occurs often, associated with completeness, with perfection, and also with Sabbath rest. Rest when God had rested from his works, not rested because he was tired, but rested in terms of declaring his work completed, to create a bookend, if you will, in his work of creation. So the eighth day is that which really is outside of creation. It points to the divine. And here at the Nativity, as we celebrate the octave day, the eighth day of the Nativity, the day in which our Lord was circumcised, we are reminded of that which we have become, a new creation outside of the fallenness of this world. And it continues, the verse continues, "His name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." Jesus was a name that was fairly common. In the Old Testament, it was rendered as Joshua or Yeshua, which literally means Yahweh or God saves. So in this event, at the eighth day, not only was Jesus receiving in his flesh the covenant, the sign of God's covenant to his people Israel in fulfillment of the law, but he would also receive the name given him by the angel as a fulfillment of that which had been spoken. For Jesus would become the new Joshua, leading his people into a land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of salvation, a new Eden, a new paradise. And it was by his circumcision by which we receive the circumcision of the heart. We know that within the new covenant, there is, St. Paul in particular, talks about circumcision of the flesh and about how it is no longer necessary in Christ. And I want to read to you just a few passages and making you understand that there is a circumcision, but in the new covenant is a circumcision of the heart, that is, of the carnal nature that we have died to in Christ. Romans 2:26, St. Paul says, "Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision?" So St. Paul is saying, obeying or following the righteous requirements of the law, not the outward following of the law as the Pharisees did, but the righteous requirements of the law, that is, the law written upon the heart. And in Romans 2:29, he says, "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, And circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in a letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. So it is the righteous following of the law, but it is also a circumcision of the heart in the spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians 7:19, circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Keeping the commandments of God. And in Galatians 5:6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love. Faith not just a confessed faith, but a faith that is living, that is carried out in love, in our love for God, in our love for our fellow man. In Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation. A new creation. And in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. And then finally in Colossians 2:11, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. This is an important text because it is by the circumcision of Christ, that is, in his being the fulfillment of all that the law and the prophets had spoken, he becomes our circumcision. He becomes a new creation for us. In the eighth day which points to the new Eden, to the new creation, to the new paradise. Today is also our civil new year, in which many people sort of put behind them the previous year, and for a lot of us, we had a lot of challenges this past year with COVID, with some deaths, with family issues and crises that many of us faced. And looking forward to the new year, this new year of 2022, we know that very often there's resolutions that are made. But really, and resolutions are fine, but the number one thing, as we have come to this new year, this octave day of the Nativity, the circumcision of the Lord, our primary goal should be an abiding in the eighth day, in that new creation that has been put on through Christ's circumcision. This is why within the Western Rite, today is a day of holy obligation. While much of the world is perhaps recovering from a little much too much partying the night before, today we come to church. We give ourselves anew and afresh to God's commandments. But God's commandments to be lived not outwardly, but inwardly. Faith with in action in love. This is our call. And let this new year be an opportunity for us to abide in the circumcision of Christ, allowing the Spirit to cut away the flesh of the old nature and to abide in his holiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.